Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Today is that day, the day that lives in infamy for every single congregation member and pastor alike, a day that makes everyone shake in fear. I'm talking, of course, about Stewardship Sunday. It's always that wonderful time of the year where pastors sometimes dread to get up and talk about the dreaded three words, time, talent, and that one so terrible word, treasures. I once heard of a pastor who spent an hour-long sermon talking about the virtues of money for his stewardship sermon. Do not worry, I will not subject any of you to that today. It'll only be about 55 minutes. Kidding. Stewardship has often been written about in many flattering terms and sometimes not so flattering terms. It's sometimes we think we automatically go to the services we perform for our congregations or maybe the amount of money that we put into an offering plate every week. Needless to say that almost everything that has ever been said about worship has been said before, written before, and you're kind of wondering then why I am up here preaching about this on this particular Sunday. But seeing as this is Stewardship Sunday, I want to do something different. I don't want to talk to you about time and talents and treasures, no. You want to read about those? There are far better people who have written far more than I ever could say on the subject. Rather, today, I just want to tell all of you a story. Is a story about a church that was founded in a pretty decently sized city. It was a very big trade hub, actually, this city. It was up and coming. There were a lot of people who were going into this city from all across the world. People were gathering in there from the very highest society, the richest people, to the very poorest. Every single ethnicity could almost be found in this city. It didn't matter who they were. They all gathered in this one place. It was bustling, up and coming. Very impressive. And so, like many of the cities that were so large and in charge around the area, they decided there was a man who wanted to plant a church there in that city. So he comes in with his helpers. He goes in and he establishes a church within that city. He sees that they are well provided for. He sees that they're well on their way for doing good things. But he's a church planter. He's a busy man. And so the Holy Spirit leads him on to the next city, to the next church, to the next people that need to hear God's word. And so this church is left in this up-and-coming city, bustling and hustling with all of its future ahead of itself, bright and cheery. Then some problems occur. The church starts to take after the city of which it is in. Sometimes for the betterment, often though, and what happened, for the worse. You see, the sin of the city infected and infested the church. The city itself was very large, and yes, it was a very big trade hub, but there was so much disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And they were all intermingling within this church. And the ones who had much didn't really get along with those who had little. They ostracized them even. They made for themselves a great feast of bread and wine when the Lord's Supper would come. Those who were rich, those who gave a lot to the church, those who were in high standing in society, all could come to this wonderful table to eat and to drink, and those who were not so lucky, who were poor or maybe didn't contribute as much in their eyes, were sent to an outer place and they got the scraps. There was also a lot of sexual immorality in the city. It was known as the city of sin. And so, that infected the church. There were problems. Big problems, too. Because there were those in the church who thought that they were more important and they were better because they were of a different ethnicity than the other people in their congregation. Needless to say, there were some problems. Their problems were so great even that some were even dying because God's wrath was upon them. The church planter, who many years ago planted this very church, went and they said, "Something's wrong here. I've got to write a letter to them." And right he did. He had to cover many different issues and many different problems that this congregation suffered. But today, I want to focus on one of the biggest things that was at the very heart of their problem. You see, they were all kind of thinking that they were more important than everyone else. There are certain people who were endowed with better gifts from God. Those who were given blessed places in their lives, which meant they were more important than other people in their congregation. And so they thought that they had more privilege than others by virtues of their race, by virtues of their socioeconomic status, by virtue of how much they do, or by what gift they have been given. The planter cuts through all of that. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit." The planter cuts through all of that stuff about being better, of a social economic status, or being of a different race or ethnicity made you somehow more important in the eyes of God. The planter cuts through all of that and says, "No, it is not. You are one body in Christ. All of you have the same Holy Spirit within you, given in the waters of holy baptism. Each and every one of you are in Christ. Each and every one of you are a new creation in Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free. You are all Christ's children. You all drank from that same cup, the cup of suffering that Christ suffered, so the world will indeed disown you. That cup of salvation that you drink for the forgiveness of your sins, you all drink of it. You all have the same portion of the Holy Spirit. Do not be divided by your race or your wealth or by your standing, for you are all one in the body of Christ." But there's still some confusion. Okay, we get it. Okay, so we're all one in the body of Christ, but surely that means that some of us are better off than others, right? Yes, we're all members of one congregation. That's all well and good. But some of us are, you know, better than everyone else, right? We do more in this congregation, of course. We are more important than that person, right? I mean, yes, we're all one body in Christ, but we don't give our body parts the same recognition. I mean, how much more do we use our mouth, our eyes, our ears, our nose, rather than our toes? Or how much more modesty do we give the other parts of our body and clothe them and stuff? Isn't it that more important? Isn't what we do and how much we do make us more important than those around us? Yes, we are one body, but aren't some parts more important than others? Once again, the planter cuts through all of that. "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." No, you are all important. You all are the same in the body of Christ. You cannot say to another person, "We have no need of you," because that's untrue. God has a plan for everyone. Each member is important for each is a part of the body of Christ. You know this. When someone is suffering or has a family member who is suffering in a congregation, isn't a part of you suffering as well? The planter seems to say. Or how about when someone is rejoicing in the congregation? A great, wonderful gift of God has been given to them, either in a baptized baby or an illness being cured. Isn't this a cause of celebration throughout the entire congregation? So no one member is more important than any other member, for all are important and needed in the body of Christ. You are all baptized into one Spirit and made to drink from the same cup. You are all one body in Christ. Okay, there's that. We get it. We all are one in the body, but God gives out different gifts, right? Yes, it might not be more important to who does what or what or how much one does, okay, but there are certain more gifts that are more praised and more honored in our congregation, these people would say. There are sometimes we give the gifts of, ministration might be something more important. Maybe the gift of preaching might be more important than any other gift. Is that what we're saying here? Once again, the planter cuts through it all. Now you are the body of Christ. So you're all one body. And individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. The planter here is cutting through it all. Yes, indeed, God has given out different gifts to his people. Yes, you are all one body and one member in Christ. But you are still individuals within it, each endowed with spiritual gifts, each given a portion of the same Spirit, and yet it manifests itself differently for each person. To some, it might be the gift of preaching. For some, it might be the gift of healing, the gift of listening, the gift of praying, the gift of faith, the gift of outreach. And yet, none of them is more important than any else. They are all going forward to be the work of Christ. All are in service to Him. And yes, should you seek higher gifts? Yes, you should. But in seeking them, we'll find a more excellent way. You may or may not have guessed it yet, but I'm speaking of the church in Corinth and the planter, Paul the Apostle. This church was and is still seen today. This letter has been written many times, has been redrafted, I was sure, by Paul, but it has lasted centuries and is still being used as a letter to the church today. Yes, we all can understand where these church people in Corinth were coming from. And yes, we indeed see where Paul is coming from as well. For indeed, the church is one body in Christ. And yes, it is difficult to understand these words. It's difficult to not let our society to somehow worm its way in. It is difficult to not let our pride and our sin get in the way and see ourselves as more important, to see our gifts as being greater or lesser. It's very easy to see all of that in our lives. Indeed. But we all are one body in Christ. The same Christ who came to this world. The Christ who we heard today in our gospel lesson, who wanted to be cast away from the world, to be killed by it, even by his own hometown. We are in the one body of Christ, the same Christ who went upon a cross and died for the sake of the sins of the whole world. We are one body in Christ, the same Christ who, after 3 days being dead, was risen to life again. And yes, we are one body in Christ, the same Christ who promised that he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. We are one in the body of Christ, who this very church is a physical representation of that body here on earth, to do God's will in this world, to go and to teach and baptize all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, it's daunting. Yes, it can seem impossible. Yes, there are people who can give much, who can give little, who have a talent for one thing and not another. And indeed, the task that God has given to us all is very daunting. And in the world today, a world that has so seemingly gone astray from God's word, so seemingly far removed from grace, far removed from what it was supposed to be, it seems all the more impossible, all the more daunting for us here. But we are all one in the body of Christ. All of us have been given a portion of the Holy Spirit, the same portion that enables us to do God's will. And yes, it might be a small thing here and there. It might be greater than one person or lesser than another. But it matters not. For all of us are one in the body of Christ. All of us have been saved by that same Christ. All of us will be risen to new life in the body of Christ. And all of us do work in the body of Christ. It is difficult. It is daunting. But as Paul says, earnestly seek the higher gifts. Do what you can. But seek the higher gifts of Christ's love, of Christ's mercy, of Christ's forgiveness, of Christ's peace. And indeed, he will lead us into a more perfect way as we are conformed to his will and do his work here at Blessed Savior, here at any church, and his work throughout the world. Amen.